Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, Kevin's done talked to you about the law. And I want you to notice in Romans chapter 8, there are three laws. I want to talk to you about them three laws, but I'm going to talk to you about four laws, but we'll talk to you about the three that's here. And notice what he says in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now you know what carnally minded is in the context? Is trying to keep that law for your righteousness. It's not playing cards, smoking, drinking, going to honky-tonks, movie theaters. That's not the context of carnally minded. It's not the works of the flesh. To be carnally minded is you're trying to gain God's favor by keeping that law. You want God to reward you for being good. That's carnality. That's religion. But he said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we're going to see that spiritual mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it cannot be, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God by doing fleshly things. You can't please God by keeping the law. That's flesh. That's your flesh trying to gain God's favor. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You come here to this church thinking that your actions is pleasing to God, and He's pleased with you, and He's going to let you into heaven because you came here to this church, or you gave your offerings to this church, or you. That's flesh. And that you cannot please God by the actions of your flesh and by your flesh trying to gain God's favor. You can't do it. And people today all over this country are trying to gain God's favor by doing things in the flesh. And they set up their standards and they say, well, if you do this, you're not saved. Or if you don't do this, you're not saved. Or if you're saved, you'll do this or that and all of the motions of the flesh. And that don't please God at all. Now, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. You either have the Spirit of Christ or you don't. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Now why? Because you don't get the Spirit of God by the motions of your flesh. You don't get the Spirit of God by the actions of your flesh. You get the Spirit of God by faith in someone, not in yourself. Everybody in this building and everybody in the world is trusting in something. What is your confidence in? Your confidence is either in your works, in what you're doing. I'm going to be good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to be good enough that God will be satisfied with me. Or your confidence is in, I am no good, I have no hope outside of Christ, and my confidence is in Him. Now, there are three laws in this passage. Now, what is a law? Well, it's a fixed rule. We have laws in nature, the law of gravity. That's a fixed rule. You get up on something and you step off on something, off of this roof, you get up on that roof, you step off of this roof. Now what's the law of gravity going to be? You're going down. How many times out of 10, if you step off of this roof, how many times out of 10 will you go down? All of them. It's a fixed rule. There are laws in physics that you can't change. A law is a fixed rule. God has some fixed rules. Now, people live a lie today because of those fixed rules. They live a life of guilt. They live a life of condemnation. Because they can't live up to those fixed rules and they condemn themselves. Now if you're saved, I want to tell you right now, God Almighty does not condemn you as Kevin brought out in the Sunday school class. You're not condemned. Why? He condemned His Son for you. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifies. There is no way God's going to condemn one of His own. Why? For Him to condemn one of you that is in His body would be to condemn Himself. And God condemned His Son. Where does condemnation to save people come from? It comes from yourself. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn down a page there in Romans 8. Turn over to Romans and look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Romans 14, verse 22. The Bible says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." In other words, you allow yourself to do something. Happy is it if you don't condemn yourself over it. And what would bring condemnation to you? You looking into God's Word and you see the fixed rule, you go, "Whoa, I ought not do that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that to that person. That bothers me." You're condemning yourself. Condemnation comes from you from looking at those fixed rules. You understand? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody in here has got what we call the conscience. And it bothers us if we do things contrary to the fixed rules that God has laid out for us. And we condemn ourselves. Now, if we don't condemn ourselves, if I read in the Bible certain things, don't bother me to do them. Listen, folks, I know what the Bible says about Sunday. I understand about Sunday. I understand where the Sabbath is. Every day to me is, I esteem every day alike. I esteem Sunday like Monday. Every day is a day of grace. But there are some people today, and you might be one of them, you believe that you ought to keep the Sunday as the Lord's day, and you think you shouldn't do certain things, and you do certain things, you feel bad about it. Not because God makes you feel bad about it, you condemn your own self. Y'all are still with me, aren't you? Now we're going to get into this. But the Bible says, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Well, the context is he's eating meat. Look back in verse 14. For I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And if he goes on and eats it or does it or allows it in his life, he's going to condemn himself. All I'm trying to get you to see is there is no condemnation as far as God is concerned toward you. We condemn ourselves. Why? Well, down in verse 23. But he that doubteth is damned. And people say, oh, okay, that's hellfire. You lose salvation. Y'all see that word damned? Look with me and turn to John chapter 8. Hang on to Romans. We're coming back. You can learn a lot by seeing how the Holy Spirit uses it. And notice in John chapter 8, this word here, it's a good word. Verse 10. Let's see. Go back to verse 8. You know, they bring this woman here. And look what verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst. Now they bring her out there and there it is. And they said unto him, verse 4, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And it's always been speculated what he wrote. Well, in my mind, I know what he wrote. He wrote the law. Do you know what the law says? That the woman and the man, they left the man alone. Where's the man? The law says both should be stoned. Verse 7, so when they continue asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now in verse 10 and verse 11, you have the same Greek word translated damned in Romans 14. Reckon what that word is. Condemned. Condemned. Back in Romans chapter 14, look what he says. Romans 14, he that doubteth is damned. Condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you know where Kevin brought out where there is no law, there is no sin? You know, in the dispensation of grace where sin manifests itself to the believer, it's in not having faith. Well, if you condemn yourself and everything, it's because you don't have faith in the Word of God and you bring condemnation to yourself. God does not condemn a believer. You condemn yourself by not having faith. Let me give you an example. As I said before, back in Romans 14, look back there with us again. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubt for disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. He don't want to eat the meat. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Notice in verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. There's people in the body of Christ that think Sunday is a better day. It's the Lord's day. And they don't go out and eat on Sunday. They go to church. They come back home. They don't do nothing. They esteem Sunday as a high day. Am I right or wrong? One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. That's me. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It is a matter of being persuaded in your mind other than being under the law. And it has to do... We live under judgment of each believer. Hang on to Romans. Come over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 16. Let no man therefore judge you, bring judgment on you, condemn you. Don't let somebody, some preacher, some teacher, or anybody bring judgment on you. Why? God hadn't. He said, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a what? A holy day. Or of the new moon. There's Abby's movie. No, I'm just saying. Or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, the kingdom. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, Christ. In other words, he's stooped in religion. And they beguile you. They entice you. They bring judgment on you. Don't let them do that. Why? Look what he said. Come down to verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living into the world, are ye subject to ordinances? And the ordinances are touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. They got, you know, you can't do this, can't do that, blah, blah, blah. After the commandments and doctrines of men, and you'll find verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility of neglecting of the body and not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. All this stuff, you know what that base is? Religion versus salvation. Flesh. Don't bring judgment. God said there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We condemn ourselves. We live in a life of guilt. We live in a life of condemnation, misery. We're not free. Now why is that? Well, you've heard the saying, you hear people misquoted all the time, the truth shall set you free. Right? That's not entirely true. Look in John while you're there. Turn back to John and notice in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's just read the verse. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, notice in verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the key there? Yeah. If you don't know the truth is not going to set you free. The key of being free is to know the truth. Well, where is truth? Look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, Jesus Christ talking to them. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know why people today are bound up living guilt and shame and they can never serve the Lord because they beat themselves down for something they've done and condemn and they bring condemnation to their own self? They don't know the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ does not condemn you. Why? God condemned him for you. Now there are three laws and I want to mention just for a few moments in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 3, for what the law could not do. Go back to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law, the fixed rule now, of sin and death. That's one law. That's a law of sin and death. And you know something? In your Bible, they go together. What you'll find in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Notice what it says. Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage is something you earn. It's what you working for. You are a sinner, don't you understand? By one man. Look back in chapter 5. We're just going to stay in Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 5. Notice what he says there in verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law, the fixed rule is
The soul that sinneth shall what? Die.
Look at this thing in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. There is a law of sin and death. And you can't get around it. You cannot get around it. Notice what he says in James there. Chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, what's the death that we're talking about? What does the sin and death, the fixed rule? The law of sin and death. Well, I know what the sin is. It was Adam rebelled against God. Adam disobeyed God in the garden. Adam lost that glory that he had. Adam fell from the glory that God had given him. And he received a nature about that and he passed it on. And we're all sin. We're born in sin. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners. We don't teach our children to be bad. At least I hope you don't. Surely there's nobody in here that thinks their children are so perfect they got to teach them some vices along the way so that they'll be normal. But we do correct them and we instruct them to be right and to do things right. Why? It's their nature to do that which is not right. Look what he says in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, here's the death. The wages of sin, what you earn. You that here, you're lost in here. You a sinner. You don't trust Christ. You're not in the body of Christ. Here's where your outcome. This is what you're going to earn. Notice what he says in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, unbelieving, there you are, that covers you. The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, that gets everybody on the face of the planet, don't it? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you know that's an eternal death? Sin brings death to the body. Every man that's born, boy or girl, grows up, gets old, and dies. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to walk that valley of shadow of death. We're going down into the grave. Every one of us. Why? Because of sin. But there is a second death to the inward man, to that soul that God created and put in you. And that's the second death. The first death is body. The second death is that soulish body. That you, the real you have this body outside. It's your tent. It's your tabernacle. But the real you lives inside that body. When that dies, that's the second death. That's when God puts you into the lake of fire out there. And you lose your soul. You lose that God created that soul for. You wanted to be like the devil, so that's where you're going to end up. That's fixed rule. Nothing you can do about that. But notice back in Romans chapter 8, it's important. You know, your soul, Jesus Christ said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, if he gained the whole world and lose your soul. God, your soul is more important to you than this whole world. Why?
That soul, that being that you are, that's inside that body, is going to live forever. Don't you understand? This life down here might live, I mean, a lot of us is headed for the flyaway zone. I didn't even give out no thought till Brother Carson was down there at Brother Moore's funeral. And he said the last thing him, Brother Moore, talked about, that they both was in the flyaway zone. And I said, Brother Carson, you got to explain yourself. He said, well, Brother Moore quoted Psalms. A man's years is 70 comes up to 70. And if by grace you live to be 80, then we fly away. You know, when you reach 70 and beyond, you're in the flyaway zone. And that's what Brother Moore was telling me. And I never had thought of it like that. So, folks, your soul is going to live on. Now the question is, where? Notice the second law. You have the law. Verse 3, for what the law cannot do in that is weak through the flesh. Now tell me something. Who has flesh? God don't have flesh. You got flesh. Well, what's the flesh? Verse there in verse 3, the flesh is your flesh. The flesh is people. Now Jesus Christ kept that law. But he's the only one that did. He didn't have the nature that you got. He was born of a virgin. He was a son of Almighty God. He had God's nature in him. But you've got old flesh. You've got flesh that you've got your old nature you've got from Adam. And it's against God. The old man, that old man that you are, wants to help God out. Give me something to do and I'll do it. It's sort of like old Naaman over there that had leprosy all over his body. And they told him, said, there's a prophet in over there in Samaria. Go over there and see Elisha. And so this great man come, this general came, and he came with all of his people and everything. And there they are riding up there. And you know Elisha don't even go outside to greet him. He sends his servant out there and says, go down there and dip 7 times in no muddy Jordan and you'll come up clean. He got mad. Well, I thought he'd come out here and tell me to do something or strike his hands and make a big deal about this. Well, isn't there some rivers over there where I came from out of Syria that's more cleaner and pure than that old muddy Jordan down there? Finally, he goes down there. They convince him to go, and he dipped 7 times, and that's where that sermon, 7 ducks in a muddy pond, comes from. He ducked 7 ducks in a muddy river, and he comes up clean. You know his problem? He wanted to do something. You know what people's problems are today? They want to do something. They want to, hey, I need to, tell me something to do. And God says, I've done it all. You don't need to do nothing. But yeah, but I got to do something. I'll feel better about myself if I do something. No, if you do anything, it's going to mess up everything. And I can't accept what you do. Well, what am I going to do, Lord? Nothing. What would thou have me to do? Sit down shut up and just have put your confidence in me. That's all. When did you do that? When did you, as a sinner in your life, came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner and faced Him and, "Lord, I'm lost. I have nothing to bring. I have nothing to give." That night I got saved, folks, I was very religious. You've got to understand that. I went to church. I'd hold prayer meetings. I'd go out on visitation with the other guys and witness and talk to people. And I was lost. I mean, I thought it was a sin to not have a handkerchief with you. I tried to live a clean, moral life that they said that I needed to live. And there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to live like that, but not to gain God's favor, not to get saved by. And that night I saw myself as a sinner. And one thing I do remember, and when I got down, I began to pray. I said, "Father." And it was like I stopped in my tracks. And I'll never forget that. And the thought just echoed in my head. "I'm not your father." And I said, "Oh God, you're not." And I jumped all my religion. I said, "Lord, I'm an old sinner. I want to be saved." I didn't know what I know about nothing. But I knew He was the Lord. And that night, God saved me. And that was on September the 3rd, 1971. I jumped my religion that night. I'm telling you, folks, what are you trusting in? What was your confidence at? I notice this law. He said, for what the law? That's the moral law of God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Your flesh cannot keep the Ten Commandments. Your flesh can't keep the law of God. The moral law of God, you can't keep it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And there's not a person in this building that does that. Especially you men. Your wives won't let you do that. And they're right. Look in 1 Corinthians. You know something? Look what he says. In chapter 7. In verse 31, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried, careth for the things that belong to the Lord." In other words, his desires toward the Lord.
He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please who? Why? Verse 34, there is difference also between the wife and the virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. All I'm trying to get you to see is, if you're married, there are days, your life is not just involved around serving and pleasing the Lord. There are times you're trying to please your wife or your husband, and you're not even thinking about the Lord. Amen. And your wives think about the cares of the world. Well, what about and the children? I need to get clothes for them to wear. I need to have this ready. I need to have that ready. Well, that's caring for the things of the Lord. But the law says you've got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. You can't do it. How many knows what the last commandment is in Exodus chapter 20? How many knows what any of them are? How about thou shalt not covet? I bet that gets us all, don't it? Huh? How many in here would wear what John wore? You wouldn't cover what old John the Baptist wore, you men, would you? I'm glad you were. But we covet our flesh. This moral law. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. I got to go on. Verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That every mouth may be what? Stopped. And all the world may become what? Guilty before God. You know what the law does? The law brings guilt to you before God. The law condemns you. The law says you're guilty. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You ever tell somebody you caught a fish? And all of a sudden, by the end of the tale, that thing has grown. That's a false witness. Now, my mama was notorious for stuff like that. She could see a little wreck and have a little cut. And by the time she got through with it, the blood's gushing out and running down the street. I used to say, now, mama... And you know, we're all that way. Sometimes, you know, I had a little stuff that juices it up. That's what she used to say. Well, I just juicing the story up a little bit so it wouldn't be so boring. That's bearing false witness. Have you heard so and so? And you don't know whether it's so or not, but you sure are telling it. That's bearing false witness. What am I saying? Our flesh is weak. You can't please. Walking in the flesh is trying to keep the law. Back in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is walking after the flesh in the context? Trying to keep the law to gain the righteousness of the law. Well, how can I gain the righteousness of the law? If I keep the law, then I'm righteous, right? If I could keep all of God's moral law, would I be righteous? Huh? Absolutely. Look what he said in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How does the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? By God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now there's the moral law. Now notice back in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's the other fixed rule. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Where is life? Where is death? Sin. Where is life? In Christ Jesus. And so, I've got Jesus Christ on that cross. And the Spirit of life now this is a law in Christ Jesus. Just as this is a law, I have the law, the moral law, and I have this law. Over here is condemnation. Over here you condemn. Over here is death. Over here is life. Over here is Adam. Over here is Christ. How do I get out of here? Over there. How do I get in this fixed rule? I have life by this. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say? Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? What put Christ to death? The law. The law condemned Him. He wasn't condemned for Himself. He's condemned for you. You're the one that transgressed against the law. God never. It was your flesh. It was their flesh. It wasn't Christ's flesh. He kept the law. He kept it perfect. I have righteousness. Over here is unrighteousness. Righteousness. Over here. When you trust Christ as your Savior, there's a fixed rule. What is it? You have life in Christ Jesus. You know what happens? You can't live His life. He lived it for you. You can't be perfect. He was. So what do you need to do? All you have to do is rest in the fact of what He did for you. Put your confidence in that and you have life. Simple as that. Now I asked you, are you saved? Do you have life today? If the Lord would come back today, if the shout would happen, would you go? You see, over here you got Adam. When you get over here, you change identity. My identity is not the old man that I used to be, but my identity is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in Christ. God sees me in His righteousness, not mine. God don't recognize me as old Brian that I once was. He recognizes me as His Son in Christ Jesus. I don't bear my old name. I bear His name. Why? Because I just got my confidence in Him. Let's bow our heads. Thank You, Lord, for this grace You've given us. Thank You, God, for all that You've done for us. Lord, I feel like there's somebody here that's never trusted You as their Savior. Their minds is racing back and they're trying to think, when did I do it? Have I ever done it? Lord, I pray that they'll settle it right now where they're sitting. Lord, help them to realize they don't need to go nowhere, come nowhere. They don't need to do nothing. They don't need to get up. Help them right now to realize I'm lost. I'm a sinner. But I'm going to put my confidence in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to receive what He did on my behalf. And I'm going to receive Him as my Savior. Oh Lord, help them to do that. And Lord, then help them to tell somebody that they've done it and not be ashamed. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Shake hands.